Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
Especially around the holidays.
Yes, especially all December long.
Yes, and you know, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. Just got to get that all out.
Yeah, I like to think of it as wet January, personally. So yes, stock up now.
So much going on around the holidays. It's like we're slamming all the last minute things in addition to, you know, shopping and being merry.
Well, and I was having fond memories of last year around this time. We had bartender extraordinaire Scott Beatty in
that
making
was awesome.
Some cocktails, holiday cocktails for us.
I know.
And talking up his class that I think we both went to.
We did.
At different times.
Love that.
I know. So
I still apply some of that learning from his
too.
Class.
Very often. Very often. So what's your go-to holiday cocktail?
It's just my go-to cocktail, which is a dirty vodka martini.
Okay. So with
olives.
Mix it up.
I don't. You know, there's actually a food and wine recipe that I haven't tried yet that I'm planning to try that adds like seltzer to it, like sparkling. Mm. So it's like a sparkling dirty martini. I know. I'm just going to try it. So I'll let you know next time. But I did pull that recipe because I was like, well, that kind of looks more interesting.
Yeah.
A little like spritz up for the holidays.
Yeah.
How about you? What do you do?
Oh, I'm a Manhattan girl.
Yeah, you like Manhattans.
I do. And really, rye Manhattan.
Okay.
But I'll accept bourbon.
Oh, fair. You've heard that, so if anyone wants to get her something.
Yeah. I'll.
She does not discriminate against the dark alcohols.
So. No. I'm happy either way. I'm agnostic in that department. But hoping to make lots of those over the holidays. And
I know, right? And enjoy time with family and friends.
Yep.
I know, so I'm happy because I'm not on a plane today, but I'm also happy that a couple of our team members from Sonoma County Wine Growers are on a plane. Valerie and Skylar are headed to Chicago in the middle of winter. Why would they
Christmas.
Do that? Yes, because we are doing our next activation with the Chicago Bears Partnership, which is tomorrow during the game. We're actually hosting a suite of influencers for the game. So they'll be drinking Sonoma County wine, learning about Sonoma County, learning about our partnership with the Bears. And then I think Skylar and Valerie are going to like get in and get out so they can be back home for the holidays. So I think it's going to be a really quick trip. But I'm thankful I'm not doing that because I was just in Portugal a couple weeks ago.
For not very long.
For not very long. Also a quick trip. 3 full days on the ground, but a trip I could not miss. Got invited by USDA's International Climate Hub to go participate in part of a delegation that went to Porto and out in the Douro Valley. And we met with other vintners and growers and researchers from other Mediterranean climate areas that grow grapes. So there are folks there from France, from Spain, from Portugal. Super fascinating 3 days and really great to just connect, like, I guess, with, you know, not only some researchers from here, so ironically having to fly across the country and across
the
water to see people that literally sometimes are in our backyard here in California and certainly in our backyard also in D.C. for that matter. And but really saw some incredible research on some of the best research, I should say, on what we project are the climate impacts for wine grapes specifically in Northern California specifically.
Really?
And kind of a projection of temperature changes for like the next 100 years, rainfall changes the next 100 years. And in this case, they looked at Lodi versus Napa Valley, like growing conditions. And so I've actually asked the researcher, he's the head of the California Climate Hub with USDA, to present to our growers, hopefully in a webinar in the new year, just because I think it's pretty actionable information, at least to start thinking about long term if you're going to replant or think through kind of what's next for your vineyard and where you invest. So fascinating, and always just love getting out and in other vineyards. As you know, it's so important just to sort of open your mind to kind of what else is going on.
Yeah,
so
I would agree. And so you think like the biggest takeaway was there are things that are actionable here in the short term?
I think so. And also a lot that we have in common and probably don't do enough collaboration with our counterparts in these other, you know, microclimates that are similar to Sonoma County.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. So I think that was, it always just opens up such a great networking opportunity for those long-term sort of discussions and working together, which I think the wine industry does incredibly well, actually.
It does.
So.
Yeah, the sharing of information has always been pretty strong, and I think increasingly.
Yeah, and I think part of what makes us in a really incredible community to be a part of. Plus, I got to try some really interesting wines that I've not had that don't make it over here. So that's fun. As you know, you get to do that a lot more often than I do, but it's very fun to do that too.
Yeah, Portuguese still wines, sleeper category for sure.
Yeah, especially the whites. The bright whites were fun.
Okay, well, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will introduce our guest on this week's Good Stuff. Welcome back to The Good Stuff. We are on today in studio with our guest, Akiko Freeman, winemaker for Freeman Vineyard and Winery. And I'm just going to read a little bit of your bio, Akiko, because it is pretty fascinating.
It is amazing.
And, you know, I don't know how many people have seen, there was a great video a couple years ago that the Wine Spectator made about you. But, you know, you were born in Tokyo. You first came to the U.S. in 1985 as an exchange student.
Right.
And then shortly after that, you met your husband, Ken Freeman, who's your partner at Freeman Vineyard and Winery. And so, and now you have become the winemaker at your family winery. And there's a lot to explain in between, which is why we're so happy you're here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So maybe start, I mean, I'm actually just curious, what was it like to grow up in Tokyo and how did you decide to come to the U.S. and land here?
Yes, coming to U.S. wasn't my idea. So I went to all-girls Catholic school from kindergarten to college. And when I became a college student, my professor told me there is a sister school in New York called Manhattanville College, and they do exchange programs. So Tokyo kids go to New York, New York kids go to Tokyo.
Wow, that's great.
And experience the difference for a year. And she encouraged me to go. And from the name of the school, Manhattanville, I thought I was going to Manhattan, New York.
Yes, that's what I would think. So no.
Yeah, the school was started in Manhattan, New York in 1841.
Wow, history.
And it was right around where Wall Street is now.
Okay.
And as the Manhattan get developed.
Grew out.
Yeah, they are like, this is getting too busy around here. Let's pick up the school and move to the suburbs. Oh. So when I got there, it was Westchester, New York.
Oh, not the same.
Not at all, Manhattan.
Yeah, it was before internet was available, so I had no idea. I couldn't Google the school.
Right,
Wow.
So thinking of going to New York City, and cab dropped me off, like a pick me up at the JFK and dropped me off at school, I didn't see any high-rise. I'm like, my God. Oh. And I saw deer running through campus. Where did I end up?
No, that is amazing.
Well,
and that would be a shock.
Well, and especially, I mean, being from Tokyo,
right?
Busy, very vibrant city. And so I could see why you would be disappointed.
Yes, I know. And I'm sure less shocking for the exchange, the young women to go over to Tokyo because they were being dropped in the middle of Tokyo and getting exactly what they expected.
Yeah, they got the better end of the deal, I'd say on that. So after that, so did you stay for just 1 year or?
So the third week I was at school, a big hurricane came and actually it went all the way north and hit New York and my school lost power and class canceled. So I was in a dormitory with a bunch of girls.
Yes.
And it was dark out. And my roommate said, hey, my boyfriend having a cake party. Do you want to come?
Yes.
And I'm fresh off the boat from Tokyo. No idea what it was. But I have nothing else to do. So they take me there. And she just gave me an address to go and left Artie to help her boyfriend set up for a party.
Wow.
So I had to dress myself and drove to the address she gave me. And my first party in New York, I just wanted to impress. I put on my cocktail dress and updo and high heels and all dolled up and ready for
formal party.
And, yeah, and ended up at somebody's basement. And everybody was in the flannel shirts and jeans and totally stood out and catched my husband's eye. Third week there, I met my future husband when we start dating, so I didn't end up going back to Tokyo and finished the college in New York City. I'm in New York.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked out.
Pretty
quickly there.
Amazing.
Yeah, you can't make it up.
No.
Do you remember what the beer was?
I have no, I'm not a beer drinker, so I wasn't drinking.
That is crazy. So then where was Ken living at the time? Was he living in the city?
He grown up from the next door where the party was.
Oh, got it.
But he went to school in Massachusetts and he just finished it. And he worked the summer in Martha's Vineyard.
Okay.
And working for, if you know, Lillian Hellman, who was a playwright. She was at 92 at the time he was working for her. So he was just doing some errands for her and her friends. Like every time he opened the door, there's like a famous dignity. So actress and actors. And one of them at the end of the summer said, hey, I'm taking my boat down to from Martha's Vineyard to Florida. And you want to be the crew? And he's like, sure. So they are sailing down the coast and got the hurricane warning. So they put a boat up in New York, and
that's how you.
Yeah, and he went back home, and his buddy from the childhood was having a cake party.
So there were so many things that had to fall into place for you to meet each other.
Right, it was like a miracle.
But mostly a hurricane, is what
a hurricane
made
and
it possible,
and a really supportive professor from Tokyo who encouraged you to go to the U.S.
Mm-hmm. and a friendly roommate.
Yes.
Boyfriend was having a party and wow.
I absolutely love this story so much.
I do too.
I know.
Okay, so I don't even know where but I do want to go back just a little bit.
Sure.
Because there's a lot to unpack here. But there's something called Kodo. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, Kodo.
So your grandmother in Japan was a master of Kodo. And my understanding is that's an art of appreciating fragrance?
Yes. So Kodo is a 1,000-year-old tradition for the wealthy people to pray. And there are 400 different kind of incense, but to Kodo they mix 12 or 15 of them and burn it, and people sit around and identify what incense was in there.
Wow.
And so is this something you did as a child growing up?
I did not do it myself, but I kind of watched my grandmother practice for this. Mm-hmm. So I was just, she was telling me, this is such and such kind of smell, this is such and such kind of smell. And so I was kind of listening and smelling what she was doing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know.
That is fascinating.
It is fascinating.
How long is that process? Like, how long do people sit around and have that
so
experience?
After doing that, you have to write a poem about it.
Okay.
So it's like a lot.
Yeah, it's a
involves.
Whole, a very big experience.
Yeah, so like people sit around for 2 hours and do that kind of thing.
And how often would she do that?
She was practicing once a week or so. And when my mom was pregnant for my younger brother, she didn't feel too well, so I stayed with my grandmother. So I was watching her do that all the time. And,
Yes.
But then I think it's your grandfather introduced you to wine, is that?
Yes. So my grandfather was a scholar and a college professor, and he was the youngest person to ever become a professor at the Tokyo University, which is kind of prominent university in Japan. And he became a professor at economics department when he was 27, and a government Japanese government decided to send him to England to study. That was before the war. And he lived in London with very wealthy family who took him over to took care of him. And they drank French wines. And my grandfather got a French wine drinking habit and brought it back to Japan and passed it down to my father. And he was a big Burgundy, like a Pinot Noir and Chardonnay lovers. And he influenced me a great deal.
Okay. So were you drinking some of those wines before
so,
you?
When I was growing up, there wasn't really a strict drinking age limit in Japan, and my mom couldn't handle alcohol too well.
Okay.
So she didn't drink at home usually. And my father, when I was about 7 years old, looking at me across the table at dinner table, and he's like, I'm going to raise her to be my drinking buddy someday.
Wow, what a great dad.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm like, everyone in your family is imparting some wisdom and learning with you. Very different, but all...
Right.
All these threads that sort of eventually come to where you are now.
So what was the first wine you had? Do you remember?
I don't remember what I had, but like ever since I was seven, I was like a tiny kind of smelling and tasting my dad's wine, and always loved Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. So here we are.
Here you are. I was gonna say that's
all like predetermined destiny.
I know. It feels like your whole life was very predetermined, and everything has been working together to get you right here to the show today.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. It's a straight
amazing.
Shot. Almost a straight shot. So you meet Ken, you decide to stay in the United States. Mm-hmm. So at some point you end up at Stanford University here. So you come to the West Coast.
Correct.
To study. Mm-hmm. And you're getting a master's degree in Italian Renaissance art history.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tell us why that was your interest. I mean, you have so many different paths that you could have taken, but why was that the first one?
I studied art history in New York. And while I was still in college, Ken got a job in San Francisco and moved to San Francisco. So we are doing a long distance
dating.
Which
is so hard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when I finished college, I was deciding either I go back to Japan or do what. And Ken called and said, hey, why don't you move out to San Francisco and move in with me? And I couldn't tell my father I'm following this guy to San Francisco.
Yes.
So I'm like, I need a visa to stay anyway. So I have to be a student. So I apply all the West Coast graduate school. And luckily, Stanford took me. So I called my father and said, I got into a graduate program at Stanford. Would you be okay if I'm staying here? So my dad had no idea I'm dating this guy.
Right, yeah. No mention of Ken in that call. But,
But Stanford's a wonderful program.
It is,
so he had to be very proud and hopefully supportive.
Yes, he was very supportive. So I was...
Because he didn't know.
So I moved to San Francisco, moved in with Ken and going to school. We even had a phone line that Ken's not allowed to pick up. We call it Tokyo Hotline. That's the phone number
that
my parents knew to call me.
And younger listeners might not realize that sometimes you had to share a phone with other people.
Because we didn't have cell phones back then.
Right?
Yeah, so you had to be careful. You
had
to come up with systems.
How smart. I feel like I could have used some of your advice when I was a little younger for some of the things I was up to.
So you get your master's degree in Italian Renaissance art history. At this point, are you tasting a lot more California wine? Are you and Ken sort of exploring wine country ever?
Yes. So both of us, the thing that put us together is for our love for food and wine. So
not beer in a keg.
No.
Beer in a keg. No, an auspicious beginning to this, yes.
So we love wine and wanted to explore the California wine. Mm-hmm. So every weekend, instead of going to church, we are going to wineries.
A different kind of church.
Yes.
Different kind of church.
I love mm-hmm. that. So did you come everywhere, or did you have favorites, or were you looking for Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, which you...
In the beginning, we went to Napa all the time. Mm-hmm. That's what we knew. But then our friends who was a sommelier in San Francisco introduced us to all the great wineries in Sonoma Coast and Russian mm-hmm. River. And I was totally in love with those wines.
Yeah.
So we start going to... Sonoma more.
You found your roots back to the Chardonnay Pinot Noir of your early mm-hmm. Burgundy days.
Right.
So did you tell your dad you were trying these California wines? Did you ever send him any?
Yes. And my dad came to visit, so I had to kick Ken out.
I was going
to
say, what?
Yeah. Where did Ken go?
Yeah, so he had to go to his friends, and I was just putting everything of his...
Like hide all the shaving kits. And...
That is
and I
amazing.
Took my parents to Napa and Sonoma.
I love that. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Ken, what a good sport.
This could be a really good rom-com.
It should be. Absolutely. I know. We should sell the script.
We have to take a quick break, but we will come back very soon with our guest Akiko Freeman and talk more about your history. Back on the good stuff, hearing some great stories from our guest Akiko Freeman, winemaker for Freeman Vineyard and Winery. So you were telling us about hiding Ken and your parents coming for a visit, taking them to some wineries in Napa and Sonoma, and then we've got a big gap of when does Freeman Vineyards and Winery happen, and how did what was your thinking at that time? You're living in San Francisco. Love wine, love food. What did you do after Stanford University?
While I was in Stanford University, Ken also went to business school. So both of us are mm-hmm. kind of studying. Mm-hmm. And when we both graduated in the same year, he proposed me. Oh. So I had to tell my parents.
I was going to say, now you have to tell.
Yeah. Now he can come out of from the cold.
Yes, but eventually we got there okay. In the beginning, it was a war going on.
A little rough. Huh?
Were your parents upset that you would marry an American and stay in America? Was that what they were concerned
about?
Yes,
that was not what they planned for me, mm-hmm. but they eventually understood.
Yeah.
But we had a long engagement. While we are convincing.
Sorted it out.
Yeah.
I mean, the drinking buddy part might have helped a little, hopefully.
Yeah, right.
I know.
And Ken is a charmer, so he eventually succeeded to charming my parents.
I love that.
And yeah, they supported us at the end.
And then did you get married here or in Tokyo?
Yes, we got married here. We had both weddings in both places. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then at some point you traveled the world with wine.
Yes, so after business school, my husband got a job in Asia. So we dipped in Jakarta, Indonesia, and Hong Kong, and Singapore. He was working for Discovery Channel at the time.
Yeah.
And he was negotiating to the different Asian countries' government to bring cables in their country.
Mm. That's fascinating. I had no idea that. That's mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right. And what an interesting job you don't think about someone doing,
right.
actually.
Right.
But
yeah.
of course.
Mm-hmm.
And but so we think of Hong Kong as a wine culture, mm-hmm. Singapore possibly also a good mm-hmm. wine. What about Jakarta?
Jakarta, people did drink wine, but not as much as back then.
Yeah.
Early 90s, they weren't really sophisticated drinkers. Mm-hmm. But I think their consumption's going up now. So
Well, that's good. We need that.
Yeah, we do. We'll take that.
We need
that for sure.
All right. So while you're traveling and living in these places, you're probably exploring a lot of the food and wine cultures. What are you thinking about doing? Are you working as well?
Yes. Ken got me a job at Discovery Channel too. They just started broadcasting to Japan. So I was making subtitles for Japanese audience.
So I watched
all the programs beforehand and translated.
What an interesting job.
Right. So my nephew, when he was little, was very impressed of my knowledge of different dinosaurs and amoebas and paramecies.
Yeah, because Discovery Channel was a
very educational, very focused.
And, that's hilarious. All right. So then what happens?
Then we moved back to San Francisco and after 5 years, and then start visiting wineries again. And my husband started dreaming about having his own wineries, and I didn't think it's going to happen. So like being a good wife, I'm like, support it. I support your dream.
Sure,
like,
it's honey.
Like a, sounds like a fun idea.
But he was serious.
He was serious. And one day on the net, it was 2001, he found a little winery for sale in Sebastopol, California. And we didn't even know where Sebastopol was.
Oh, dear.
But he decided to drive up and take a look at the property. And when we came, it was like the winery was built in 78. But the original owner ran out of money after 3 years. So since 81, it was a ghost winery. Nobody was making wine. And it was very small and run down. And everything was overgrown. And I'm like, this is a dump. I don't think it's going to work. And my husband's like, the price is right. We can't afford anything more.
So we can afford a dump.
Yeah, right. We'll make it work.
And so it had, did it have Pinot and Chardonnay planted?
No, it was only a 3 acres with like a rundown barn and no vineyards whatsoever.
Okay, so this took some vision.
Yes.
And you couldn't see it at first, it sounds like.
No, okay. Ken has much better vision than I do. I have to see things done and then
That's
appreciate
how I am.
It.
That's how I am.
Okay, so you buy the dump and you decide what? We're going to plant?
So we started to renovate the building, and then my husband's knew Mr. Ed Kurtzman, who was a winemaker, but they went to same school in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And Ed decided to be a winemaker while he was in Massachusetts and quit school, came out to California, and went to UC Fresno to get his enology degrees and became a winemaker. So we are often visiting his winery, and he was working for another winery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when we needed a winemaker, somebody told us Ed Kurtzman just left the job. So we got to call him. So we called him, and he wanted to start his own brand, but the winery he was working with did not allow him to do both. So he's like, the owners, either you do our wine or
that happens.
So, and we said, we have a winery. Small, but if you want to use it to make your wine, and would you make our wine too? And he agreed to that.
Okay, so this is really interesting timing, because it's really pre Pinot Noir becoming a big deal in California, or at least certainly Northern California, and Chardonnay, cool climate Chardonnay being such a thing too. So so Ed comes on, does he help plant the vineyard?
Yes, but a vineyard came later, so he made our first wine in 2002 from Purchase Grapes. We are very fortunate to get some estate fruit from Mary Edwards. She was kind enough to sell us some of her fruit. And we made wine and started releasing it in 2004. And that year, the movie Sideway came out.
Yeah, your timing was amazing.
Perfect.
Oh my God, it was just so impeccable. And people are just joking. My husband, did you fund the movie?
Are you behind this?
Right. But there was an apple orchard right mm-hmm. next door to us, and the owner named Gloria had it. And I invited her like every other week for lunch and have a nice chat with her. And at the end, I always said, like, if you ever want to sell your apple orchard,
let us know.
Are here for you.
Yeah.
And 4 years later, like, she probably got too tired of me inviting her. She's like, you should have this orchard. And then we were able to plant our own vineyards.
Okay. So, So, it still took a while, as it always does.
Right.
When did you envision yourself becoming the winemaker?
I never wanted to be or trying to be a winemaker. In the beginning, I was kind of watch Mr. Ed Kurtzman make wine and realize like winemaking is time. Like 20% is winemaking, 80% cleaning, sanitizing, washing everything.
Very true.
Yes.
Yep. So every time I see him in action, he was washing something. And we didn't have a budget to hire him an assistant. Uh-huh. So I'm like, can I help you? Because being a historian, I'm making no money with that. And he's like, yeah, you're small enough. Can you crawl into the tank and clean? So I did that. And I was just watching him make wine and just fascinated about the whole process and start following him more and more, and he's very patient with me with all the questions. I have no science background, so he taught me step by step how to make wine. And by year 9 or so, like I was making wine alongside with him. Yeah.
Wow. So
incredible.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's a very inspiring story. We have to take a quick break. We will come back soon with Akiko Freeman. We're here to wrap up our conversation with Akiko Freeman, winemaker for Freeman Vineyard and Winery. And maybe you should tell us a little bit about the wines that you make now that you are the winemaker.
Yes. So we have Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, the top, like a flagship wine has my name on it. It's called Akiko's Cuvée. Mm-hmm. And also the top sales Chardonnay is called Ryofu Chardonnay. Ryofu is a Japanese word for cool breeze. Mm.
Oh.
And we make very kind of elegant, food-friendly wine. And mm-hmm. we also have two estate vineyards. One in Russian River is called Gloria, from the Hurricane Gloria that put my husband and I together. And also the apple orchard owner was Gloria.
So another
connection.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the other one in West Sonoma Coast is Yuki. And Yuki means giant tree in Japanese. And that's my nephew's name also.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so how can people come visit you and drink wine with you? How does that work?
Absolutely. We have tasting by appointment.
Okay.
And we have an underground cave that is our cellar, and we taste inside that, and which is kind of unique experience in Sonoma side.
Yeah.
So people enjoy it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right. And so they can check out and find you. Your website's Freeman Winery. It's FREEMAN winery.com. And follow along on Instagram at Freeman_winery. So they can make an appointment, and they can do appointments any day of the week. Will you host them?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great.
We are closed on New Year's Days.
Well,
Christmas
that's okay.
Day,
yes.
That's fair.
Yeah. Very fair. Yes, absolutely. As people should be with their families and friends on those days, hopefully.
And you mentioned that you and Ken will be traveling back to Tokyo for the holidays.
Yes, from Christmas to New Year. Nice. So we will be gone. But we have a staff member at the winery, so if anybody want to come.
So do you now bring your Freeman wine back to Tokyo? Are you the hit of all the parties?
Yes. Yeah.
That is so fun.
And did your parents get the chance to taste your wine? Are they still alive?
My father, unfortunately, passed away 2 years ago, but at age of 94.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so he enjoyed our wine to the very end. And my mother is turning 88 the day after Christmas this year, so I'm going to be there for her birthday. And now she drinks maybe a glass of wine.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Does she prefer Chardonnay or Pinot Noir?
I think she likes Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir.
It runs in the family. It
good, as yes. Say. Yeah. Good for her. Good for her.
We don't have a lot of time left, but I did want to ask this one question about something called Kaizen. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
And it's a Japanese approach to constant improvement. How do you... So tell us about that.
So... you know, life, you can never hit perfect, but you can work towards that. And Kaizen spirit is like a making things better each day. And, you know, we are like winemaking is constant improvement. Yeah. And there's a new findings and techniques comes out all the time. So trying to make good wines each year, and we are doing organic farmings, and I feel like each year the grapes get tastier, and you know, tasty grapes makes great wine.
Yeah,
I feel like that makes a good bumper sticker.
I don't know why you don't already have that available. You know, tasty Sonoma County grapes.
Yeah, there we go. We'll brand them county for sure.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you found your calling through all these...
Accidentally,
accidentally. But through, I mean, this art of fragrance that came through your family, this love of wine, and then even sort of some of the Italian Renaissance art history that you did, all the way to your belief in continual improvement. Amazing story.
Yeah, such a wonderful story. Thank you so much for sharing all that, and I love all the juicy, sneaky details of those early days with you and Ken, too. So
the Ken hotline.
So much fun. So much fun. Yeah. Well, what a wonderful story. We hope you have a wonderful trip back home. Enjoy, and happy early birthday to your mom.
Oh, thank you so much. And have a great time. I'm so honored to be here today.
No.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Carissa, with our guest, Akiko Freeman, what was your favorite story? The secret phone?
I can't choose. I love this. I love the Tokyo hotline. I love that she had to kick him out.
Yep. He had lied.
I love that she met him at a keg party, which
all
was like
up.
Her first party in the U.S. And instead of being like, I'm all dressed up and maybe I should go home or I'm not supposed to be here, she meets the guy she ends up falling in love with, like her third week in the States.
I know.
And I love that they just kept moving forward. Like, that it was just like we met and they just kept making it work.
Yeah, and living all over the world and working all over the world and tasting lots of great wines. And then,
what a life.
You know, one day it's like, oh, let's go buy a property.
I know.
And she's like,
I'm going to try to support him and this dream I think is never going to happen. And next thing you know, she's, you know, living in West County.
And she's a very, very skilled winemaker. Those wines are delicious and it's a great story of just... Anything can happen.
And I love her, the motto of just continuous improvement. And you've never really arrived. You're always sort of on your destination. You're
very perfect for wine.
On your path. Oh, my gosh.
Speaking
of good stuff, wine, and it is the holiday, so I will definitely be drinking lots of bubbles, as we know.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised the bell is not here.
I know. I thought about it. I did. And then I ran out about it. So okay. That's my fault. But... I would love to celebrate because I can't, you know, it's still, and I feel like I'm in newlywed phase myself a little bit. So in honor of the love story between Ken and Akiko, I'm definitely going to have Akiko's Cuvée Pinot Noir. So I'm going to do that. And I think the current vintage is 22. So that's what I'm going to have on Tuesday night. What's your Tuesday night wine?
Well, I have made a new discovery, which is that Freeman actually has a Riesling. I think it's pretty new, 2023. It's called Kofu Riesling from Sonoma Coast, vineyard called Abigail's Vineyard. I think their first Riesling crop was 2021.
That's awesome. I'd be super excited to try that.
Fun, good, like something to throw into the mix during the holidays. So
I love that so much.
I think we're set.
I know. Well, we hope everyone out there has a wonderful holiday season. Mm. You get some time, hopefully, with family and friends in the best way possible.
Drink well, eat well.
Exactly.
Sleep well.
Definitely have some Sonoma County wine. That will help every occasion.
Yes, absolutely. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
A special holiday. Cheers to that.